welcome everyone to the Apocalary Podcast. I am Steve. He is
Reverend Larry.
Reverend Larry.
Huh. That's not good enough, is it?
It's not bad. It's a bit familiar yet formal at the same time.
Yeah. Well, Reverend Van Beek would be okay, or Reverend Doctor. But we do that a lot, the Reverend Doctor. So
yeah. We don't use his worship anymore, do we, in a normal?
No, especially in this type of a podcast.
Oh, right. Sorry, I digress.
Is someone to worship here. So.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh. And it's not us.
Yes, right. That's right. But in a court of law, I still believe they use that, do they not, in England?
They still call those corrupt judges worship. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. hey, we're going to talk about Revelation 4, Lair.
Yes, sir.
That's a great lead-in that we just did there.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, Revelation 4 now, and I wasn't going to use the term, but this is the high point of this book.
I like that.
4 and 5 are the high point. It kind of comes to this point, and then from here on for the rest of the book, you go from earth to heaven, from earth to heaven, from earth to heaven. But this is the first clip into heaven, not to the end necessarily, but I would say to the end.
Possibly. Okay. Okay.
And John is going to go into heaven. And John actually in Revelation 4, in my opinion, is doing this very same thing Paul does when Paul says, there was a man who went to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. And he saw unspeakable things. Right? And now John does the exact same thing as Paul. He's going into heaven too, but he's not using Paul's language. He's using the language of apocalyptic literature.
So
he's talking about what he saw in heaven. Paul says, I can't describe what I saw in heaven. John describes what he sees in heaven, but doesn't do it in a way that really tells you anything.
Okay.
It really lights and sounds.
Right.
So okay. this is John going to heaven. And remember, he's talking to a persecuted church. He's talking to a church that's going to die. They need to hear that this place is there and it's real.
I like that because this is that message of hope that you talk about so often. Like this is a message of appealing to people to come to Christ, and this is the hope that they would have. So
this is what you get. This is. They often say, you know, Christianity's not a crutch, you know, but it is. It really is. Remember the group, the 1,000-foot crutch. And I never heard them because I think they were a thrash band, but they were a Christian thrash band. So
yeah.
At least so I've heard. But you know, and they'd say, I don't look for pie in the sky by and by. But this is also that. it's all the things we say we're not into this for, but it is what is waiting for you at the end of this.
Yeah. So good. All right, folks, picking it up at verse 4, we're going to read all the way down to verse 6, and then we'll come back and talk our way through it. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. And at once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal.
So John goes into heaven, and the first thing he hears that voice that he heard on the island of Patmos. He's on the island, and the same voice that talked to him to begin with said, come up here, and I'm going to show you what's going to happen. And he says, I'm in the spirit and I'm standing in heaven. So that's Paul. In the body or out of the body, I don't know. Whether it's a spiritual event or a physical event, it makes no difference. These are not distinguished in these situations.
Yeah. It matters not really, right?
That's right. Yeah. And so, and the first thing he sees is someone sitting on a throne. And you'd think this would be the, you know, the white-haired Santa Clausy God, but it's not. It's not at all. It's, he doesn't quite grasp what's there. He just starts seeing light through emeralds. So, so it's looking like a jasper, a carnelian, and there's a rainbow around it, and there's the appearance of an emerald. And these are, these three, I think they were precious stones in those days. Now they'd be semi-precious stones, right?
Okay.
And their colors are red, and carnelian sort of a rusty red, I think. Emerald is green. I think jasper's kind of a greeny color as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's what he sees around the throne. And now, so his image. So you're going to heaven, and there's all of this stuff going on, but the very first thing you see is God on the throne. That that captures him. Yeah. And then he starts, so he's entranced by that. And as he starts to step back, he starts seeing more.
Right? Ah, it's almost like he's panning out a bit.
Yeah, yeah, he's panning from the throne out to the rest of heaven.
Okay.
And so then he sees these 24 elders, and they're seated on thrones, right? And there was a rainbow. Oh, no, no. Around there's 24 elders seating, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their head. So what he sees around the throne now is he sees 24 incredibly powerful beings, right? And he calls them elders. They're wearing crowns, so they're all royalty. Every one of these guys is royalty, right? And and what they are, we don't know. Some say they represent the church, the 12 apostles, and the 12 tribes of Israel.
Okay.
Some say they're angels. You know, nobody really knows what they are. The only thing that you know for sure is that these guys are very, very powerful because they're sitting on thrones.
Mm.
Nobody sits on a throne unless they're a king.
Okay, good point.
Or a queen for nowadays.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And that's what these guys are. So then he sees the 24 elders, and he's going to hear more about them in a little bit. But he comes back a little bit more, and then he sees lightning and flashes of lightning, rumbling, peals of thunder. So it's lights and sounds, right? And throughout the rest of this book, whenever you get lightning and thunder, it's referring to the presence of God.
Mm.
There's a you know, a thing from Sinai.
Okay.
From when Moses went up onto Sinai.
Yes, yes.
That's the kind of image that they're getting here. Right? And then he sees the seven torches burning, which are the seven spirits of God,
mm-hmm.
which we always say is an apocalyptic way of just talking about the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Okay. And we don't know much else to do with that. I mean, there's got to be way more that you can do with it. But all that we know for sure is that this is a reference to the Spirit of God. And then he comes out a little more and he sees, like, it looks like a sea. Like, it's massive, this sea of glass that looks like crystal.
Mm.
And I didn't think they had glass in these days, but they did. They had glass and they had crystal. They didn't have the kind of clear, beautiful glass that we had, but they had all of this kind of stuff.
Right, right. They were already experimenting with that stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the Chinese were anyway. They were. Yeah. And so they've got this, and that's what he sees. And then we go on to the next verse.
Okay. So there we're in the middle of six now, folks. It's just kind of a natural break in the text. So that's what we're doing. And do you want me to go all the way down to maybe end of eight, bud?
I'd like to get, yeah, that sounds good. And you could even, yeah, just go down to the end of eight.
Okay, cool. So we're at 6B, if you want to do it like they traditionally would label it. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are the four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each one of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come."
So now he has the beast. Now, in the Greek, it would be beast. We say creature because that distinguishes it from the beast later on, later on in the book, right?
Oops. Right.
And so the four creatures are representative. The four creatures are representative of things on the earth, as far as we know. like the first living creature. So they're full of eyes, so they're seeing everything. They've got wings, and these wings are like angelic wings, right? They're like angels' wings. And the first one's a lion. And as far as we know, if we pick this up, we would say this first creature that's around the throne, he is representative, or she is representative, of the greatest of all wild animals. So the lion was always the king of the beasts, the greatest of all wild animals.
Okay.
Right? And we know that's not completely true, because for land animals, the greatest of all land animals is really the elephant. I mean, a full, strong, young bull elephant, there's really nothing that can take down a bull elephant, right?
Right.
So, but for this purpose, you know, you're the lion of the tribe of Judah later on. The lion is the king of all wild animals. So worshiping around the throne is the representative of all the wild animals. The king,
okay,
of all, right? Then the second one is an ox. And we often hear that the ox is the greatest of all the tame animals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they used oxes all the time. They were very, very powerful.
Right, that's right.
Not completely true. Because really the greatest of all the tame animals is the elephant. in India and other countries, they've used elephants for many years. Remember, who rode elephants over the Alps? Was that
Hadrian?
Hadrian rode the elephant?
Yeah.
It was Hadrian's Wall.
I don't know who rode the elephant. I don't remember, but anyway, I know what you're talking about.
But they really are. They're the greatest of all the tame animals. But so what they're saying is these two living creatures represent all the wild and all the tame animals. Did you find them?
No, actually.
Oh, I thought you were looking. I thought you were looking for me.
I was tempted to, and I thought, oh, no, I won't.
Right.
That's...
And the third creature, he has a face of a man. And we always say that for some reason, he's the third. But we make him man is the proprietor of all creatures, right?
It was Hannibal, by the way.
Hannibal, yeah. And we should have remembered that, you know, from Clarice.
Yes.
Clarice.
Yeah. Yeah. And from the A-Team, of course.
And much preferable from the A-Team, because I do love it when a plan comes together. So man is the third one. And then the fourth creature, of course, is the eagle. And I almost said eagle. The eagle is the greatest of all the birds, right?
Right.
And of course, we know that the eagle is not the greatest of all the birds. It's the elephant, right? Because we've all seen Dumbo, and they've done a remake of Dumbo, and he really is an amazing creature.
Yeah, but no actual elephants were harmed in the filming of Dumbo.
No, which is fortunate, because he had to dive into that little wee tiny pool.
You know? Yeah, I know. That was...
Oh, but he didn't actually, because he flew away at that point. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Now we're remembering the whole movie. But so these four living creatures. So don't forget, you've got the throne. John is captivated by the throne, but when he comes out, he sees the 24 elders.
Right.
Representative... what they actually are, we're not sure, but we know that they're representative of royalty, of kings over the earth, right?
Yeah.
And then you see the all of the creatures of the earth represented by these four living creatures. No fish for some reason. You would have thought a good dolphin would get in there, but anyway, so they got the four living creatures. Now these creatures, with all of these eyes, so they can see everything that's going on all the time. And the four living creatures can do nothing, and they never stop to say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. So you're looking at these powerful, powerful creatures, and all that they're doing is worshiping God day and night, steadily, doing nothing but worshiping God.
Is there some symbolism in the eyes there, or is it just trying to say that they're... You know, something about God being all-seeing or something like
that. I'm thinking the all-seeing thing is that's where I go with it. These are very similar to the creatures in Ezekiel, right?
Okay.
They're not exactly the same, but they're similar.
Okay.
And again, those creatures also have the eyes so that they see all things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's the text right after that they're praising God with is really a slight variation on Isaiah 6, right? You know, or Isaiah... It's similar, but it's not the same.
But so. The great Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one?
No, like in 6:3, where it's like, you know, all of a sudden he's in the temple, right? And smoke fills and the creatures appear and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I was thinking of the Shema, which is 6:4.
Hear, O right.
Israel. Is that Isaiah, though?
I don't know. Yeah.
The great hearing, anyway. Yes, anyway, so that's the idea behind it, right? It's the idea behind it. And some people try to figure out exactly what these animals represent. And so you can read commentaries to talk about exact representation of these animals. And the same as you can read commentaries that talk about the exact representation or what the 24 elders represent. And I think I will admit that I don't know exactly what they are. But I still think we get the power of this chapter, even without that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So
the power is all of the royal beings in heaven, and who are so much more powerful than anything on earth, and all of the representative of the living creatures. These guys can do nothing but say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Yeah.
Did you find the Isaiah passage?
I didn't. I can't find it. but I'm with you, because, again, like you started this text off by saying, this is John is giving hope to it. You know, the vision John sees gives hope to a persecuted church. And again, they're seeing an all-powerful God on his throne and all the powers that are subject to him, worshiping him.
Yes. And all of these things that are subject to him are greater than any of the stuff that these people are going to face.
Yeah.
Remember, they're having trouble with the Jews. The Christians are having trouble with the Jewish people that are turning them over to the Romans. And John saying, hey, God is bigger than all of that, people. He's bigger than all of that.
Yeah. Oh, good point. All right. So picking it up at verse 9 then, folks. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who is seated on the throne, and worship him, who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Oh.
So every time these creatures say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the 24 elders on their thrones, they cast their crowns before God, and they say, God, you are worthy of glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created. And I actually even like it better in the King James, because the King James says, for you created all things, and for your pleasure they were created.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love the translation. There you go. Yeah. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. So so you've got the most powerful beings in the universe who can't do anything but just take their crowns off and say, God, we're not worthy. You are the only one who's worthy. And it says every time these creatures sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, these guys put their crowns before God. And of course, we know that literally this can't happen, because it would be ridiculous.
For them to keep running back and forth.
Yeah.
So let me grab that. Let me
come back, sit down. Oh, man. Run back for us, grab their crown, and bring it back. Or we used to say, remember, like the old Monarch commercials, when the crown would just appear on their head like the margarine.
Oh, that's right.
Remember the and then they would run up. So if you took it too literally, it doesn't make any sense. But if you take it for what it is, that God's on the throne, the creatures can only worship him. That's all they want to do when they're with him, just worship him. And these powerful, powerful beings just throw their crowns before him and place their crowns before him and say, you're the only one that's worthy of this stuff. We're not worthy. And it's kind of a reminder to the wealthy and the kings and the world leaders that really you're not worthy of what you've got. Only God is worthy of this stuff. And he's allowed it to you for this time. Is take it as a blessing.
Yeah.
And use it for him, which they don't. And we don't.
Yeah,
but that's what it's all about. And so, to a suffering church, they're and to us, Stevie, we're just reminded that there is only one worth serving, and that's God.
Yeah. Oh, Lair, what a good way to end that. My word. Yeah, so true, folks. I can't add anything to that because Larry's hit it out of the park. Folks, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you listening to us. We appreciate just being able to spend some time in the Word with you. We'll be back in a week's time. I'm going to take a go on a limb here. I'm going to guess that we're going to do Revelation 5. I could be wrong, but I think number 5 alive is where we're going with that one. So, all right, until next time, I'm Steve, he was Larry, and this was the Apocalypse Podcast.